Thank you so much, choir. If you have your Bibles now, we're going to look at a lot of Scripture this morning. I'm going to preach fast. You listen fast. In the Word of God, turn, if you will, to the very first book in our Bibles, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. We'll begin reading at verse number 18. And again, I'm speaking this morning now on Satan and the home. Satan and the home. I guess today in America we're having more problems in the home than we are in any other area of the Christian's life. Any other area of the American's life is more problems in the home. Last year over 1 million homes ended in divorce. I don't know how many children that represents that's now in a broken home, divided for whatever reason. I don't know how many homes on the verge of divorce. Maybe just kind of a cover-up for the children's sake and for society's sake and maybe position's sake. I don't know how many. How many people down in their hearts looking at marriage as something that's a bondage instead of a blessing? I don't think there's any way we can get to statistics. But if we have 1 million in America who have actually come to the point to where they said we cannot and we will not live together anymore, there's something wrong in the homes in America. And I want us to look in the Word of God. All right? Our reading this morning to begin with in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmate for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Our Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd open our hearts and eyes. I pray that you'd keep us from distraction, keep our thoughts from wandering. I pray that you'd blot out the things that are going to happen after the service, and may we feel as if we're standing in the very presence of an Almighty God, and He's revealing to us the problems in the homes and revealing us the problems even in our own homes, that we may recognize them. And more than that, dear God, that we may do something. I pray that it may be an unusual service where Thou art honored and glorified, and people will turn to Thee because You're the only one can really give us help in this area. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to get the picture, if you will. I can see the Lord Jesus Christ in my mind, or God in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of God, as He walked into the Garden of Eden. He'd meet with Adam, but He could see something in His eyes, a little longing. Man's not an entity in himself, and God knew that. And He said, "It's not good for man to be alone. It's just not good." And God said, He made all the animals to see if He could find God knew, but I'm illustrating, as the Word of God says, in essence, could He find a pet that would mug Him? I think every night God would meet Him, God would look into His eye, and God could still see that longing. God knew what He wanted. I think He wanted to prepare Adam so that he'd know that there was nothing that God had yet created that would really satisfy his soul. And then the Lord said, "Now is the time." And God performed the first operation by taking the rib out of his side, and from that rib he made a woman. And he brought her unto Adam, and he said, "Now this is your wife." And in essence, as we say many times, God performed the very first nuptial vows. He performed the first wedding when he brought Eve unto Adam and presented her unto him. There came a new light in Adam's eyes, and God says, "Now I'll give you the rules for it." He says, in verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." It literally meant, I want you now to go and make your own home. I want you to establish your own home where the husband is the head of it and the wife is the loving helpmate. I want you to establish that. You make your own home now. Now, I want you to notice the reason I say this. This is the first couple. Now, the first home is discussed over in chapter 3, verse number 8. And they, that is Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, that indicates to me that this wasn't the first time this had happened. But it sounds to me as if it were a regular evening experience. Every evening at the cool of the day when the day's work was done. Perhaps after they'd had their evening meal, maybe a time of relaxation, the Lord would come and visit with them. What a happy place that must have been. A man and a woman in the perfect state of innocence. A man and a woman with nothing their hearts could desire. Nothing whatsoever. And God Himself literally coming down every day and walking with them through the gardens and looking at them and thanking them and complimenting them on what they had accomplished. What a joy it was. But I want you to see, the very first attack of Satan was right there on that couple, was upon that home. The devil doesn't want anybody to be happy in God. He wants you to be happy on the things of the world, happy on the things that He's created. He wants you to be happy on His substitutes, but He does not want you to be happy on the things of God. And He's going to do everything in His power to keep you from having the happiness that God wants you to have in your home. Now let's look at it first, very quickly. I can only do it. Now verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord our God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For the Lord doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And Satan was successful with the first couple and with the first home. Now, would you look at me and let me ask you a question? Why in the name of God do you think that you can have a happy home apart from God operating it? And you doing exactly what God tells you to do? You cannot do it, folks. It doesn't matter about your social standing. It doesn't matter how much you're involved in church. It doesn't matter about your position in life. It doesn't matter how many zeros you may have behind your bank account. Unless you're willing to follow the Word of God, you cannot have happiness, and Satan absolutely will get the victory. Now let's look at it quickly. First of all, I want you to understand what Satan teaches. I'm having a hurry. The Bible says, I want you to turn if you will. We're going to do a little Bible. Now tonight we're really, I just rather you not come tonight unless you're willing to turn to some places in your Bible. Because I want to give you some Bible scripture for what we're talking about tonight. Now in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that's page 1276 in your Scofield Bible. A verse that you've heard me quote many times, but I'm quoting it and I'm quoting the next verse. And I want you to listen carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in your Scofield Bibles is page 1276. Listen. Now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly. No doubt about it, he says. In the latter times, folk, we are in the latter days of the church. There's no doubt about it. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, notice, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrine is teaching to the teaching of the devil. Listen now. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. The doctrine of the devil, first of all, is don't even bother to get married. And beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, now I want you to listen to the two sides of it. You heard what He did there in the Garden of Eden. He brought Eve unto Adam, and she became His wife. There was a marriage ceremony. I believe, though it's not mentioned, it's indicated God Himself, He performed the first wedding vows. The very first miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed in the New Testament in John 2. He changed water into wine at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee. He talked to us about it very freely. I'm going to turn for a moment now to the book of Matthew chapter 19, where we read about the Lord and telling us about marriage and so on. And He's confirming exactly what it says. I'm reading now from chapter 19. Let's begin reading at verse number 3. That's page 1025 in your Scofield Bible. The Pharisees also came unto Him, that is unto Jesus, tempting or testing Him, and saying unto Him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, Have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's an interesting statement. And it's some this world needs to know. God made a male and female, all right? And said, For this cause, that is, because they got married, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother. Now the reason doesn't mean to neglect him. It doesn't mean to love him. It doesn't mean that. It just means you get out and start your own home. That's what he's saying. And shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement in a further way? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Listen, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife. Now notice the words wives that I've read to you. Except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, In this case, if this the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. And he said unto them, All men cannot receive these things. I cannot read the rest of it because it's not germane to what I'm saying. I'm saying to you that in the Old Testament, God said, I want a man and to marry, and I want them to start and form them a little home. I want them to have children and pray and build a Christian home. I'll show them how to protect it. The Lord Jesus Christ repeats exactly what was repeated there. He said, There is no change. I still want people to marry. I'm saying unto you this morning,
For that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also, I don't believe it means giants physically, but giants as far as popularity, giants mentally, giants in talents and so on. There were outstanding men in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children. Uh-oh. There's a word missing there. What happened between verse number 2 and verse number 4? It said that they took them wives, and this one said, And they came in, these men came in unto these women, and the same had children. There was something they forgot to do. Can you find it out? Did you figure it out? What was it, class? Say it out loud. What did they forget to do? Marriage. I believe if those had the word to use today, you'd read in your Hollywood and your television and your outstanding entertainers today, they don't bother to get married. They, quote, take, quote, quote, lovers. This is exactly what happened in that generation, and because of that, God's judgment came in the form of a flood. Now listen to me. In Luke chapter 17, it says this, As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be as in the days of the coming of man. Here's what I'm simply saying to you. God says you be sure to get married. The devil said there's no use to get married. And today we've got people all around us, and we can't exclude Charlotte. And we can't exclude people even like yourself. They're just living together without being married. They're living together in apartment complex and in mobile home courts and in the better parts of town. They're just living together. If they have enough money, they have another home for their mistress, as they call them sometimes. The word now has been changed to the word lovers. And as a result of it, they've forgotten the marriage vows. And they say it isn't necessary anymore. They say that the laws are too strict, and all it does is just a piece of paper. I've had them to say that to me in my very ears. It's nothing more than a piece of paper. If you love one another, that's all that it means. Now here's what I'm trying to say. You're going to have to make a decision in your mind on whose word is true. Is it God's word, or is it the devil's word? And the devil came to Eve and he lied to her. I want you to notice, if you will. Let's go on quickly. And then not only does the devil teach that marriage is unnecessary, he teaches that marriage is a revolving door. In other words, let's promenade and we'll change partners. I mentioned to you 1 million divorces in America last year. I don't doubt at all, but this year it'll even increase. I'm simply saying to you, when we preachers stand, we will say, until death do you part. Beloved, you don't hear much of that anymore. The problem areas are open to satanic attack in these areas. Number one, I believe that one of the areas, would you listen to me? Especially those of you who are not yet married, will you in Jesus' name listen to me for a moment and turn to the Word of God, the 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's page 1234 in your Scofield Bibles. Listen what God commands. Now this is what God commands. You know what happened in Genesis 6? There were Christians marrying unsaved people. And they developed these people that caused and brought about the downfall of the world as we know it today, or I should say the civilization of that age that we know it. Now listen what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 4. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Question mark. Has none. And what communion hath light with darkness? Question mark. There is none. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Question mark. Hath none. And what part hath a believer with an infidel, with an unsaved person? I don't care how handsome that man may be. I don't care how kind he is. Christian girl, you marry an unsaved man and you're directly listening to the lie of the devil and you're walking against the truth of God's Word. You're doing it. I don't care how beautiful that young lady may be. Young man, listen to me. If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and is your Savior, she may be the most breathtaking, the most beautiful thing that you've ever laid, most beautiful thing that you've ever laid your eyes on. And the devil will tell you a lie. Listen to me, folk, and you'll know, some of you will recognize it. After you get married, then you'll get them saved. After you get them married, then you'll get them in church. I've heard that so many times that I almost wonder, how can we fall? How do people believe the same lie over and over and over? After we get married, things will be different. They will be different. They'll be 10 times worse, 20 times worse. They'll get so bad that you say, there's no hope for me. I know I was wrong. But they'll always follow you to the grave that you have been married before. And God is saying, He's thundering, may I say that. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And what, verse 16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? What agreement hath it with idols? God will not join the temple of God together with idols. Beloved, unsaved man, believe it or not, makes an idol of himself. Then he says, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now watch what it's saying. God is simply trying to say, if you marry out of God's will, you're headed for trouble. It doesn't mean that everything's over. It means you've just simply got to say, the devil has tricked me. The devil has deceived me. I'm coming back to God's Word. I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of God. Live or die, good or bad, separate or not separate, I am staying with God. And God will show you the right thing to do. And you quit listening to the attacks of Satan. And you quit listening to the subtleness, the deceitfulness of the devil who tries to tell you there's other ways around it. I'll tell you another thing very quickly and I'll say it. Secondly, immaturity. Many times I say we have a standard here in this church. We don't marry anyone until they've reached their 18th birthday or haven't graduated from high school. And we don't feel the education necessary, but we believe that when we say the vows, we ought to be true. Will you take this man? Would you take this woman? And I believe that God teaches they ought to be matured. Many times, how many times? I could turn, had we time, to the life of Samson. His whole theme was to his father, get that woman from Eve. She pleaseth me well. Physical attraction, that's all it was to him. Didn't last long. Not only lasted long, she betrayed him. She not only betrayed him, she betrayed him to the enemy.
and cause heartache and conflict between the Philistines and the great man of God. I'm simply trying to say to you, wait till you mature. Wait till God leads you into it and shows you the right way to do it. The thing that we need to understand, number three, there's sometimes a refusal to leave mother and father. Will you listen to me? Don't you ever think one time, don't you let the devil make you think that I said don't love your mother and father. But I want to tell you something, and please don't shake your head and don't raise your hand. Don't do a thing under God, but sit there and take it in your heart. There's many of you right now got in-law trouble. There's many a wife here right now whose husband resents the intrusion of the in-laws. And there's many a man here who resents the fact that the woman runs to the mother every time for advice instead of going to her husband. I'm not saying that a mother and father should not stand by and be willing to help and give advice when it's necessary. That would be contrary to God's law. Don't you run over every time. I remember way back, and I chose this illustration unto the Lord because you wouldn't know if I'd tell you the name. The beginning of Northside Baptist Church. A man in our church got married. In fact, yes, I married. They were both in our church, both of the family. I mean in the infancy of our church. I tell you something else to watch out about. Would you listen to me? If daddy says, honey, I'll give you an acre right here in the front yard and help you build a house and everything, say, thank you, daddy, we'll get us a Jim Walters house and live down in the suburbs. You better do it now. You better do it. You better do it. You say, Brother Hudson, we've lived there 20 years, nothing's happened yet. It will. It will. It will. This young man came to me and he said, I don't know what's wrong. He said, we're just having trouble all the time. I said, let me talk to her about herself, and I did. I said, what's wrong? He said, we built a little house right in the yard, and she says she comes over every night, that is the boy's mother, every night when I'm cooking supper, said, no, he doesn't like it that done. And she takes the flapper out of my hand and turns over what's in the pan. No, said, now he likes a little more of this and that and the other. And don't put so much water in the green beans. She said, I am so sick of it, I can't stand it anymore. You know what today? They're divorced. She came back later and asked me, I'm talking about way back, and asked me to remarry her. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. You don't have viable grounds. I'm simply trying to say, that's why God said, listen to what God said. God said, when you get married, don't cleave to your mother and father. Get out and start your own home. Be the head of the house. Make some of your own decisions. Now stand by, mothers and fathers. I'm not saying that. But you get your in-law mother's nose out of it. And your in-law father's nose. And let them argue a little bit. I think it's good for them sometimes. Did you know what I found out? Most of them will get over it if you leave them alone. I heard a woman say to a couple I married. I heard her say it. She put her arms around her and said, honey, out loud. She didn't care if anybody heard it. She thought it was good. Honey, if he doesn't treat you right, you always know the door's open at home. You better take the key away from him and slam the door and say, honey, that's it. My mother used to have an expression. She didn't know what the word philosophy meant, but she had more than most of us. She raised 8 children. One of them died, but all the rest of them got married. Never was a divorce. And she said, that's your little red wagon. You're going to have to pull it. And there wasn't too much sympathy. If there was problems, she'd tell them to iron it out themselves. That's the word she used, iron it out. I guess it meant get the wrinkles out of it. And I'll tell you, there wasn't so many mamas and daddies that I told you he wasn't no good when you married him. I told you she wasn't any good. I knew she couldn't cook. Or maybe your cooking ain't so hot. That's what I'm trying to say. You keep your nose out of it. That's what. Amen. Now the devil will tell you to try to run it. And the devil will tell you to try to interfere with it. The Bible says, you for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, and they shall cleave one to another. Glued one to another. They're one now in Jesus Christ. And then that refusal, and he says, leave your home. And then there are many times the parents try to rule that. I'm not going to that quickly. Let's go on. And then very quickly, the devil teaches the reversal of the headship of the home. Turning the Word of God for a minute to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. page 1275. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And I suffer, I don't allow a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but in silence. You say, Brother Hudson, I'll not take that. I'm not going to believe that. Well, I got news for you. I didn't write this Bible. This is God's Word. But we're living in a different day. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. God means for a woman to be in subjection to her husband. Now, what do you mean? I'll not have him coming in and telling me what to do. That's not what subjection means. You know, I thought about it. It simply means leadership in love. That's what it means. I've had people say to me over the years, Brother Hudson, you must be anti-woman. Somebody hurt you in your early life, Brother Hudson. You sure do take a hard stand on woman. You won't let women pray in the church. You won't let women teach men in the church. And you sure have taken a hard stand. You're chauvinist, aren't you? No, I'm a Christian. Amen. I've been married 39 years to the same woman. And she's here this morning. And I'd be double dairy to go around here and find another woman that's treated with any more respect and loved any more and has any more compliments played to her yesterday. I mean, can I brag on myself for a minute? Yesterday, there was don't try to say, I'm only scoring on with Brother Hudson and his wife. And that wasn't that at all. It was just a little. I went into where she was, and I took her in my arm and pulled her up real close to me, and I prayed. Is that being a dictator? How long has it been since your husband held you in his arm and prayed with you? God would help you. God would bless you. I cut this out. For those of you here can see in the church, it's in the Bible. It's been in there for several years. You never heard me read it before. But I read it many, many times to myself. Listen, will you? Should you go first and I remain to walk the lonely road? I live in memory's garden, dear, with happy days we've known. In spring, I'll watch for roses red, and when fade the lilacs blue. In early fall, when brown leaves fall, I'll catch a breath of you. Should you go first and I remain for battles to be fought, each thing you've touched along the way will be a hallowed spot. I'll hear your voice, I'll see your smile, though blindly I may grope, the memory of your helping hand will buoy me on with hope. Should you go first and I remain to finish with the scroll, no lengthened shadow shall creep in to make this life seem droll. We've known so much of happiness. We've had our cup of joy. Our memory is one gift of God that death cannot destroy. Should you go first and I remain, one thing I'll have you do. Walk slowly down that path of death, for soon I'll follow you. I want to know each step you take, that I may walk the same, for someday, down that lonely road, you will hear me call your name. I'm 58 years old. I thought about it in my mind. I thought about it about this long. That's about all I ever thought about. What if the Lord would take her? Would I remarry? Now, please take this from a pastor after 39 years of marriage. Please take it. I would never expect again, as long as I live, to remarry. I've got too many memories. I've got too much hope and too much faith in God to ever have any desire again. And please don't take that as a criticism of you. I know the circumstances are different. I just wouldn't. I just couldn't. At least I feel that way now. I put it that way, and trying to be honest. I'm simply saying, when I said, until death do us part, folk, I meant that thing. And that's what God said. I'm simply trying to say to you, the devil wants to break up your home. And when there's a reversal of the headship, you're going to have it. That's why we stake against the ER. It's not that we're against woman. We just don't want you to lose your right as a woman. That pedestal that God has placed you on. That femininity that God's given you. I see people now, I see a lady once in a while, and I have to be honest with you, once in a while, if I go shopping, she's got on a dress, she's got her face fixed, and she hadn't, you know, fried her hair. I see some women, you know, I think about what I heard Sanford say one time. Sanford, huh? He said his hair was tied, fried, and dyed. And I see it like that. Then I see them, you know, the pants on, old sloppy shoe, the pants wadded up around their ankles. Then I see a lady walking over there, and she's got on a neat dress, her hair's fixed nice. And I want to walk up and say, God bless you, man. There's a few of you I'd just like to meet, whatever few are the left. God bless you, women. If there's anything that God wants you to do is look like a woman. God created them to be male and female, and I've always liked that arrangement. I don't believe in this unisex. I don't believe in men looking like women and women looking like men. That's contrary to the Word of God, and it's exactly what the devil's teaching. That's what I'm trying to say, the reversal of the headship. Now, quickly, and I've got to say this, the devil will teach you moral impurities. Are you listening? He said, Brother Hutchin, you think anything like that ought to be preached from the pulpit? I think that's what's wrong today. Enough of it hasn't been preached. The devil will teach you moral impurities. I read something not long ago. It said, according to the poll that was taken, I don't know how many was involved in it. I don't remember that. I remember this. But 50% of the married people in America, not divorced people now, 50% of the married people in America admitted to at least one extramarital relationship. At least one. 50%. That's half, of course. Now, folks, here's what I'm trying to say. That's what the devil teaches you. And the Word of God comes back and he tells us, turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And listen what the Lord has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And God is very explicit about it and tells us very plainly. And if you're not doing it, now the devil will tell you differently. But listen what God said. Chapter 7, that's page 1217 in your Schofield Bible. Listen carefully now, and he'll tell us about this if we listen. Look at verse number 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Men, listen to me. I want every man in his place to look at me. Did you hear what that said? God said, have your own wife. You know what the devil says? Take anybody's wife you can. He said it to you. Don't act like he's not hadn't said it. He has said it. Now let's read on. And let every woman have her own husband. If every woman had her own husband, there wouldn't be any divorces, would there? If every man had his own wife, there wouldn't be any broken homes. If every man had his own wife and every woman had her own husband, there wouldn't be the massage parlors. If every man had his own wife and every woman had her own husband, you wouldn't need pornography. If every man had his own wife and every woman had her own husband, you wouldn't need X-rated movies. And if every man had his own wife and every wife had her own husband, you wouldn't need prostitution on West Trade Street. That's what marriage is for. Look what the Word of God says, for example. Turn for a minute to the book of Hebrews. To the book of Hebrews, let's see what God says. Chapter number 13, verse number 4, page 1304 in your Schofield Bible. Matthew chapter 13. The Lord says, and I'll only read the one verse because that's all we have time for. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now the devil tells you it won't happen. Devil says everybody else is doing it, it's all right. Sex is God-given. And the thing you need to understand it, and even as I read there to you from 1 Corinthians, abstinence is permitted, but only for a while. I'll not go into more because my time doesn't permit it. But he said, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. That's a measured time. That ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. That Satan tempt you not. Now may I say this? Sex can be a weapon that can destroy your home, or it can be an instrument that it'll make it a little bit of heaven here on earth. And I say to you quickly, without a lot of explanation, man or woman, never use sex as a payment. The minute you do, can I say it and you understand me, ladies, with all the dignity that I know how to muster? The minute you use sex as a reward or as a payment, you're prostituting. Well, I know it's your husband. Buys you a new dress or gives you away, takes you where you want to go, does something and you reward him. You're in trouble, for that's exactly what the devil tries to get you to do. He gets you to try to prostitute your body. Not so. Then the thing to do, man or woman, are you listening? God teaches in this verse that I just read you, never to withhold sex as punishment. I heard a woman say one time in a counseling session, she said to him, I guarantee you won't sleep to me. And she mentioned how long, and I'll not say it, you'll not sleep with me for so long for what you've done. And brother, when you use that, you're using it as a crowbar to tear your house down. I can see them pulling the sidings off of the door and they're breaking the doors down, and I see them taking a crowbar. And sex, as powerful as it is, and don't let you underestimate it, you can use it to build your home into a formidable place of refuge from the devil and from his temptations and his lust. Can I say this? Lastly, and I have to quit. He teaches the wife to get too busy outside of the home. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to work outside the home. I'm saying that he tries to get you too busy outside of the home. And I'm going to give you some scripture and a quick illustration, and then we've got to quit. But turn, if you will, to 1 Timothy again. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Now listen what the Lord said. That's page 1277. I will therefore that the younger women marry. That's God's plan. Now there are some people who have talents, some people who are whatever, who want to stay in the profession. That's all right. God's not condemning that. God doesn't say that you have to get married. He said, I will. I'd rather, he said, therefore that the younger women marry, listen now, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary. Class, tell me, start it with an S. Now, he has two or three names. Start it with an S. Who is the adversary? Let me hear it out loud. Satan, all right? He says, give none occasion to Satan to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan's teaching. Listen to what he's saying. And then he says, now, I can't go any further, but listen to me. Will you do it? Sometimes you'll get into a problem, and can I ask you ladies a simple question? Is outside of the house more attractive than the inside? When you drive up in the home at night after a day's work, do you say, I wish I didn't have to. Right then, Satan is testing you, and Satan is doing everything he can to drive a wedge in your marriage. You be careful. Now, I did not say it was wrong for a woman to work. I said, just don't let the devil make it more attractive. Can I tell you something else? I don't know this figure because I've never read it one way or the other. I'm just basing this on my own personal opinion. I could be wrong. I'll admit it if I am. I'm talking about the cases I've dealt with. Did you know that 90% of men and women who get involved with each other is at a place where they work? 90%, in my opinion, get involved at the place where they work. Now, the reason for it, it's outside of the home. And I have watched it too many times when they think, that's perfect, that's just right. I'll tell you how, when you know you got trouble, when you start seeing faults in your wife or your husband that you hadn't noticed before. The thing to do is get together and work it out. And here comes that little sweet tater, and she's all powdered and perfume, and she's in, you know, about 30 minutes late, and she paints her fingernails, and she clicks the typewriter a few times, and oh, she just, you know. And you're the boss. The Bible says be in subjection to your own husband. And she's in subjection to you, and boy, that flatters you about half out of your hairpiece. And so she says, oh, she says, and the first thing you know, you know. And he thinks, and maybe she thinks, boy, now that's ideal. If we could just be together as husband and wife, it would be perfect. Now, their children are usually involved on both sides, and the moment they just push them out of their minds, you know what happens? I've seen folk like that run off. I've dealt with them after that. And the first time she realizes that when he gets up in the morning, he's got the early morning itches, just like her husband. He yawns and scratches his head and has to rub the sleep out of his eyes. She said, this is not half what I thought about it, how it was. And you'd be surprised at how many people that run off usually are back within 30 days. Did you know it? And he says, boy, whew, when she took off those false eyelashes and rubbed off that makeup and got that mascara off and that blue stuff over the top of her eyes, I mean, when she got it all off, my hammer, she didn't look any better than my wife. He said, like the prodigal son, he said, there's better at home than I've left. I wish you could put a little sticker on the front of your home and say, devil, don't come here. But it isn't that way. He'll try his best to make some of you disagree with this message. He'll try to get some of you to doubt what I've said. He'll make come and say, if we change, it'll be different. It won't be as good. Tonight I'm going to illustrate to you from the Word of God some of the things that I can only vaguely mention. I'm not speaking on home. I'm speaking on your mind. And the very things that Satan used against Eve. Little subtle suggestions and question marks. And the devil used it on you on the way home.